This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Hey everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff. Grown Up
Stuff. As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is Kristen Dolan, who just passed her one-year anniversary as CEO of AMC Networks. It's been a roller coaster ride for her from day one as she plugged back into the world of cable programming at a fraught moment for the sector. But it's a world she knows well, having started her career as a marketing executive for Cablevision, AMC's former parent company. She is a member by marriage of the Dolan family that controls AMC Networks. Kristen Dolan rose through the ranks at Cablevision for 16 years. She was a key player in orchestrating its record-setting sale to Altice in 2015. After that, she launched her own data analytics and marketing firm, 605. But her new gig is also a homecoming after more than 3 decades. The earliest days of her career were spent in affiliate marketing for AMC, back when it was, in fact, a channel primarily devoted to American movie classics. AMC's recent fourth quarter earnings report lays out the company's challenges. Linear cable is shrinking, and ad sales across the industry have been in a slump for more than a year. But Dolan sounded nothing but confident on February 6th as we spoke at the Langham Huntington Hotel in Pasadena, just before AMC Networks did its Television Critics Association presentation. Dolan has faith in the company's ability to, quote, be the French fries to anyone's happy meal, end quote. That means she knows that AMC's streaming bouquet of channels will have to be bundled with bigger engines over the long term. Our conversation also touches on the future of IFC Films and her interest in Xumo, the new app-bundling streaming box option that cable giants Comcast and Charter are pushing. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back with AMC Network CEO Kristen Dolan after the break.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And we're back with Kristen Dolan, CEO of AMC Networks.
Kristen Dolan, CEO of AMC Networks, thank you so much for making time for me today.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate anything to do with Variety.
Oh, thank you. Well, you had me at Variety. Since it's been just about 1 year since you took the reins of AMC Networks, I would love to get your impressions. Having you worked for many years at Cablevision, one of the largest and most innovative cable system operators. After that, you launched your own marketing and data analytics firm, 605. I would love those experiences that were connected, but a little bit outside of the Hollywood and the programming business that AMC is squarely in. What, coming into taking the reins at AMC Networks, what were your perceptions of the programming business, how cable TV and the content business makes money versus the kind of businesses that you had previously worked in? Oh, what are the distinctions there?
Great question. They've always been inextricably entwined. So even when I was at Cablevision, when I ended my career there, when we sold the company, I was in the chief operating officer role. So I had oversight over the programming department, as well as ad sales, the call centers, the guys in the trucks, certain aspects of inside and outside plant, and, the whole gamut. And so I actively participated in our negotiations with programmers for a number of years. And then, to your point, I worked at AMC Networks the first 8 years of my career. So I understood the programming side. But the thing I say a lot is that I'm not a content person, right? So I know what I like, but I spend a lot more of my time in what we lovingly call the engine room. So working on the infrastructure, and really at this point in time, we focus a lot on the transition from what used to be a B2B business in programming, where you'd sell to distributors and they were responsible for the relationship with the customer.
Basically wholesale model,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And now it's much more of a B2C, even if, like with AMC Networks, our goal is to get our content in as many platforms with as many partners as possible. And I'm a big fan of the wholesale model for a bunch of reasons, which we can get into later. But really focusing on what the end customer is interested in, whether it is an up-and-coming virtual MVPD, whether it's a traditional distributor like a Charter or a Comcast who's reevaluating their approach to the marketplace. As a programmer, we have to be aware and available to engage in a much wider variety of ways than we would have in a traditional cable system or satellite system 15 years ago. So coming in, it's a long-winded answer to your question, but I feel like the parts of my career that you pointed out are ones that really got me, I think, ready to take this. It was the right time for this job at this point in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. It's been a fun year, busy year.
There's a lot going on in the business. And then for 6 months of last year, there was a whole lot not going on in production. Let me ask you kind of the fundamental dilemma right now for AMC Networks, for Paramount Global, for a lot of companies invested in the world of traditional pay, what was traditionally known as pay and basic cable. You know, that transition right now, as audiences are going more and more to streaming platforms, the economics of that transition are something we write about in Variety literally every day. We do most podcast episodes of this podcast are dedicated to that. How are you balancing those demand curves? Linear is obviously still a profitable business, but it is a shrinking business just given the macro audience trends. And streaming is very, very challenging and very, you know, a very voracious eater of capital.
Yes.
How are you balancing those demands in a company of the size of AMC Networks, which by design has always been a little more boutique than some of your larger rivals?
That's the question of the day. So we're actually really confident about our approach because in a weird way, smaller is better for us. We're not vertically integrated, so we're not owned by a broadcaster. We're not owned by a distribution company. So we can really partner with anybody on bundles and packages for our streaming services. But we've never decoupled linear from streaming in any of our relationships, right? So at this point, the bulk of our partners in the U.S. have access both to AMC Plus as well as our linear services, same as in Canada. And the services that we provide in streaming are they're beyond niche. I don't want to say that they're niche, mm-hmm. but they provide specific content for very voracious audiences, right? So we have Shudder for horror. We have Acorn for British dramas. We have All Black for Black audiences. I could go through the whole list, but each of them is appropriately priced, so not super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It provides a very good value for what it is. Same with our linear services. Like the cost for the AMC suite of linear channels is significantly lower based on the performance that it does in ratings, right, than a lot of the other packages. So we've kept our traditional services and our new services together. And what I've been working on with the team over the past year is really looking at how we can better cross promote between linear and streaming and really, you know, kind of breaking down what had been, you know, silos that were formed not intentionally, but each linear network had its own team, even in our building, its own floor, not
right.
dissimilar to, you know, the old Viacom where it was like the Nickelodeon floor and the MTV floor and whatever. So you create these brand identities and teams that support them. But over time, we really realized it's the value of the full portfolio, right? And we can actually use our content in a variety of ways because the audiences don't necessarily cross over that much. So a show like Happy Valley, which is an incredible crime drama from the BBC,
mm-hmm.
that can work really well on Acorn. It can also work well on BBC America. It had its time on AMC Plus, and the audiences don't necessarily overlap. So you're not cannibalizing yourself by putting really good content in different places and packaging it differently. So we've been doing a lot of that, and hopefully to the benefit of, you know, our distribution partners, our streaming customers, mm-hmm. and to the business overall. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that is we've talked about a lot is just what is a premiere in this day and age, right? So it's sort of the Suits effect or the Friends effect during the pandemic. It's like it's a premiere for the first time when you see it for
right,
the first time.
Right.
It's no longer Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. And so as you comb through the library and as a parent of teenagers and also 30 somethings, like really seeing multi-generational viewing, like what can you introduce your kids to? What do they introduce you to? A lot of co-viewing and just really seeing great quality content is great quality content. And generally, other than maybe the cell phone's really big, you wouldn't necessarily know
right.
that it's the show's 10 or 15 years old, right? If it withstands time because it's good, it will tend to have a life that goes on, you know, for a long time, which is really an asset value. People are consuming more video than ever. I think it's just the platform that's changing. And so linear is still a very, very big piece of what we do, albeit one that is slowly declining. But the thing that I'm really optimistic about, again, maybe from being a cable operator for so long, mm-hmm. is products like Xumo, mm-hmm. what Comcast and Charter are doing to sort of I don't want to say obfuscate, but to eliminate people having to determine, am I watching it live? Am I watching it on linear? Am I watching it on demand? Am I watching it, you know, streaming? It's all just available through a good interface. You can upgrade, you can downgrade. You have a person that will answer the phone if you have a problem. You have a technician you can call if something's not working right. And I feel like the opportunity for the distributors to create an environment that takes the angst and the stress and the complexity out for the average consumer will be really, really important in the coming years. Because people still are watching as much as ever. They're just watching it in different places.
Right. And and those places and times are different than they used to be and harder to capture. Do you think, I mean, is it too simple to say that the emergence of things like Xumo and the growth of the fast, the incredible, the very fast growth of all the fast channels, is it too simple to say that this is a new form of bundling?
It's absolutely everything old is new again. It really is. And I think in the past, I think where we may have fallen short as a cable industry was really in that user interface and the user experience. Because, you know, you remember back, again, I've been around for a long time, but the idea, like when DirecTV started bucketing things, you know, the 100 channels were this, the 200 channels were international, the 300 channels were sports or whatever it was. We made it easy for people to find what they needed, and that's where the value perception improved. And so with Xumo or with YouTube TV or with Philo or any of these products, Roku does a really good job with their fast channels. I think making it easy for people to find what they want is going to allow the value perception to be strong enough that hopefully there'll be less of the sort of exhaustive churn and spinning and people, you know, signing up, signing down. So if it's reasonably priced and a good experience, just like when the cable bundles came into play, it's like, you know, because everybody's doing the math now and saying, okay, this streaming service, now I am paying $180 a month for what I probably used to get in my cable bundle 5 years ago. And so I think the ship will right itself. It's just a matter of the technology and the presentation layer catching up to where it makes a consumer's life easier.
You have been doing some experimenting with AMC Plus in terms of bundling, making it available. I know you've said that, you know, just ubiquity and making it available to where fans are is important to you. What you did a recent kind of an experiment with HBO Max in bundling and making a version of the AMC Plus feed available to subscribers for a short amount of time. How did that come up and what did you learn from it?
So that came up just, you know, casual conversation and an opportunity with David Zaslav and team to just try something out. So we took five series, not current seasons mm-hmm. of some of our products. So we put five series on Max for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And to see just what it would do, both for viewership and engagement for the Max customers, but also for driving incremental viewership to AMC Plus and incremental signups for AMC Plus. So, you know, we had over the course of the 2 months, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 of the top 10 shows in viewership on Max during the duration. And then we did see that it benefited us on AMC Plus through new signups and also deeper engagement on the newer series. So, you know, an interesting partnership. We loved working with them. We, you know, we're going to continue to pursue partnerships with others, but to really see, did somebody watch a prior season on Max? And we, you know, we were able to, in a privacy compliant way, share the data and then say, okay, did that person then come back to AMC Plus for season 2 of Dark Winds or, you know, season 3 of something else? And the other kind of nugget that was fascinating is A Discovery of Witches, which is an older show. It's 5 or 6 years old. Got massive. It kind of had the Suits effect. Everybody watched A Discovery of Witches on Max on the AMC Plus pop-up. So you find these little nuggets and, you know, they're fortuitous at times.
Mm-hmm. Might that partnership continue in some form?
I hope so. We'll continue to talk to them and then we're talking to a lot of others. But, you know, as we were talking during the course of this, like the relationships that exist in the industry and people being creative and enthusiastic about testing and learning is really beneficial, I think, to everybody.
Is there an appreciable difference in terms of the margins for AMC networks if you are distributed traditional, a Charter, a Comcast, a Cox, a Altice, versus being distributed by a YouTube TV or AMC Plus being added into the number of the bundles that you've now
come in. Is there one area where it's sort of most lucrative for AMC networks, or are they all about equal at this point?
We don't look at the partnerships by margin because mm-hmm. it's really hard to do that. So it's much more about, we look at a piece of content, right? And this is one of the things that was really interesting for me to learn when I came into AMC Networks a year ago, is like how to amortize content, right? Because when you go from like green light to production to airing right. to second window to multi-years, it's like, it's so like, it takes 2 years to actually start to amortize something from when you first start thinking about it. And that 2 years can be 2+ years, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't really look at margins by distributors. We look at, okay, how effective is the content that we have and mm-hmm. where can we utilize it and what does it drive, right? So I just, again, for me, like I focus a lot on the business side mm-hmm. and I leave the content and creative work to other folks. But I think the programming, community is now starting to create some of the models, the financial models, and the analysis and the predictive analytics around what things will do and how they will be monetized and what are the right choices. And so thinking about, again, like predictive churn analytics and things like that, if a show can have multiple windows, multiple legs, can be used on a variety of services, that's a big deal. So to your point, like something like Mayfair Witches could work really well on linear AMC. It could work on Acorn because it's mm-hmm. got a little bit of, you know, the occult. So we have mm-hmm. between Sanctuary and Discovery of Witches, like we have witches, gay vampires, and you know, and zombies are kind of like the
something
sweet spot for us.
Supernatural flavor, yeah.
But you can take something like that and you can sort of think about how can I flow this through in ways that it provides as much value as possible. So I think we look at things more about what we're creating and how we can use it to drive the business forward, as opposed to specific margin analysis against a platform or a distributor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To your point about shows, more so than... Do you think in that world, is it still important for AMC, especially the mothership AMC channel, is it still important for it to have that profile, the reputation of home of edgy dramas, things you won't see anywhere else, talent that you'll take a real swing on with very, you know, offbeat efforts to, you know, offbeat storytelling?
Yes, for sure. I mean, we're one of the few networks that still does scripted dramas, right? High quality scripted dramas. We run them on linear. They launch on linear. They're also on streaming. And we've really kind of preserved that commitment. We've never cherry picked out from our linear channels to put stuff, mm-hmm. you know, first on streaming. And so for us, it's like we want to meet customers where they are with content that they appreciate. And then the legacy, to your point, of what we've created in the past, the franchises that we've been able to create, and the franchises that we continue to develop, whether it's Anne Rice or Orphan Black, mm-hmm. or we have, this will air after our press releases today, but yes. We have a couple of announcements, like we're doing a new series around the terror. So it'll be the third mm-hmm. time that we've done, you know, sort of horror-based scripted series that we're excited about. So, you know, sort of advancing that, and then the talent that we've been so lucky to work with. So today we're talking about, on one of the panels, the new show with Giancarlo Esposito mm-hmm. called Parish, which mm-hmm. is not in the Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul family, but him as a character is so, you know, sort of inextricably connected to the types of dramas that we do. And this new show, Parish, is amazing. But it's action-packed, you know, he's a driver, mm-hmm. he's a former driver for the mob. And it's just, you know, when we watch this stuff, when we watch the screener copies and we see like, it feels like AMC, you know what you're producing. And the same with We, you know, we have some other exciting announcements today with We TV and our unscripted, and then with All Black and our scripted Black content. And then, you know, as I said earlier, like each of the brands has their sweet spot of what they're known for. And so we want to continue to develop that so that even if a show is in a second window or a third window and it's on Netflix, you would still know that it's an AMC show just based on the type of content that it is. So it's really important to preserve that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about learnings from the AMC Plus now that it's been around for a couple of years. But before that, I want to ask you about you've talked to any of the major conglomerates. 2023 was a rough year in advertising. It was, you know, just the market was down. Any sense of, and do you see any green shoots in 2024? Do you see that? Is that sort of kind of depression in market or spending? Do you think, is that going to hang in for the first quarter, second quarter? Please say no. Please say no.
Well, you know, we love a political year.
Yeah.
Everybody does. So that's important. You know, our advantage here, again, is technology. And that's one of the other things that I loved about coming back to AMC Networks is our head of advertising and our chief commercial officer both came from digital. And so they've been really proactive about things like we have national addressable. You know, we're able to have that technology. We have programmatic. So we actually sell our advertising in the same way that digital providers sell. So like we monetize and optimize our inventory in ways that I think really punch above our weight.
Even on linear?
You on linear, yep.
Mm-hmm.
We do programmatic linear. And then with the national addressable, you know, we're selling segments and you can insert nationally against a specific segment. And then obviously AMC Plus, we launched our ad supported version of that in October. So that's mm-hmm. starting to roll out. So we're super creative in how we use the inventory and then how we deliver to our partners. So I think we do actually have opportunities to continue to advance on CPMs and different audiences and then provide really sophisticated analytics and reporting back to the advertisers to prove the value of what we've done for them so that we maintain a good relationship. We're not just selling spots and dots. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's near and dear to my heart after the 605 days. So I'm
right.
super proud of what the team is able to do and will continue to do with our new head of global technology in place, Stephanie Michko.
Mm-hmm.
So she was CTO at Cadent. She was SVP of software development at Cablevision. So she did our cloud-based DVR back in the day. And then
the lawsuit provoking. Yes.
She spent many years.
But that is an example of how Cablevision was always, you know, pushing the edge for sure.
Yep, exactly. So all of that experience in cloud-based, you know, now the world is basically everything's
right.
stored in cloud and
you were ahead of the curve.
Right. And then she went on for 3 years at Charter mm-hmm. as their CTO. So she understands interactive advertising. She understands streaming and all of that architecture. And then she understands traditional linear distribution. So having her coupled with this really brilliant advanced advertising team, we're like, okay, what's next? What can we do next? How can we build it? How do we sell it? Mm-hmm. And so I think your point about the industry and the challenges with advertising, I'm hoping the pendulum swings mm-hmm. back, but I also think for us, we're extremely well positioned to continue to monetize the avails that we have in ways that are not only good for the partners, but also from a customer experience perspective. I love targeted advertising because I don't want to see ads that are completely irrelevant to me. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about incremental CPMs. It's about if you're putting content out on linear or on streaming, if people like, I feel like Americans are very comfortable with that trade-off, which is like, if I get this show for free, the trade-off is I will watch some commercials. Mm-hmm. But if they're actually relevant and interesting, it's so much of a better outcome than, you know, I put up with these ads and I'm purposely going to leave the room because I know they're completely irrelevant for me. So I'm going to run and make my popcorn and run back in.
Right. My days of buying Pampers are long gone.
Exactly.
So.
Same.
Gotcha. Do you think, there's certainly no shortage of programming outlets, but there is certainly among the number of, especially ad supported channels that are making high end scripted content. I mean, mm-hmm. that number has really shrunk just in the last 12 to 18 months. Are you seeing any benefit from that, being that you are still investing big in these very ambitious and very, like, you know, high concept dramas that have traditionally defined AMC's original strategy?
I'd say the benefit for us is preserving the brand equity, right? We have these mm-hmm. revered brands that have been around forever. So, you know, not just AMC and WE TV, but Independent Film Channel and Sundance, BBC America, mm-hmm. like protecting and preserving those brands through the creation of high value content, I think is really important to us as a company.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll continue to do that. It's hard to say whether, you know, it's the shows are great. They get good viewership. The fandoms, you know, again, are incredible, which is why it's so fun to be here at TCA and see a crowd waiting outside to see the talent.
We've got to pause here for the sweet sounds of monetization. We'll be right back with more from AMC Network CEO Kristen Dolan.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
We're back with season 2 of the podcast, which means more opportunities to glow up and become a more responsible and better adult, one life lesson at a time.
And let me just tell you, this show is just as much for us as it is for you. So let's figure this stuff out together. This season, we're going to talk about whether or not we're financially and emotionally ready for dog ownership.
We're going to figure out the benefits of a high-yield savings account.
And what exactly are the duties of being a member of the wedding party?
All that, plus so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
And we're back with more from the big boss of AMC Networks, Kristen Dolan.
AMC Plus is going into its 5th year. Just sort of big picture stepping back, are there big learnings for the broad business in terms of when you can see, literally watch people going to the show, how long they spend, how many episodes they sample after that, all of the connectivity that digital brings you, is that like an amazing font of information and inspiration, or do you sometimes drown in data? Or
I wish, sadly, this is like actually a very loaded but very good question, because we are wholesaling, right? In a lot of cases, from our direct to consumer customers, we get all the information. Mm-hmm. You know, again, in a privacy compliant way, but we can see who's watching what for how long, mm-hmm. you know, what their engagement is and all of that. But it's challenging, I think, for us and for all distributors of streaming content when you're going through a partner, because Amazon might give you the data this way, right. Apple might give it to you this way, Roku might give it to you that way, somebody else might not give it to you at all. So it's like, how do we construct arrangements so that we can aggregate all of that data and then couple it with the traditional linear data and really get to, again, what we did amazingly well with triple play products on the distributor side, right? To say, okay, TV, phone, internet, they use the internet this much, they're using long distance calling, they're using our free Wi-Fi, they order pay-per-view, like you start to create a CRM that really allows you to know and support your customer in ways that, you know, retention is much less expensive in the long run than acquisition, right?
Right.
So,
right.
As we think about our business now, it's like, okay, how can we get the data that you're talking about and organize it in a way that allows us to preserve the relationships that we have, to serve up the right stuff in front of people, to give them, you know, through social media, through direct marketing, through earned media, a really good understanding of what we do and why they should care and keep them in the fold. And we're still, I think, like most programmers, we're still cobbling together from a variety of partners a wealth of data, but I wouldn't say it's organized in this lovely little database where we right. can just go in and be like, tell me who watches this.
Let me
this.
Get some inspiration today.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gotcha. I know this might be hard to answer, but do you have a working timeline for do you see that the business is inevitably shifting to streaming, or do you think that linear may have a longer timeline than we think? I've heard, you know, people say it's 5 years, it's 10 years, and I've heard others say, no, it's going to be longer and might plateau in the U.S. somewhere around 40, 50 million homes mm-hmm. that love their sports and love their, just want everything that the old-fashioned bundle delivers.
Yeah, that's it. Prognosticator
question. I know that's a crystal ball gazing question.
I mean, 50 is my number. I'd be thrilled if it settled at 50. I think that, again, it's sort of up to the distributors to really win this. And that's why, again, we're so, you know, we're big fans of Dish Direct and then what Comcast and Charter are doing, because I think they can create an environment where people don't necessarily have to change their habits, right? Kids are different. My kids watch everything on a tiny little screen. It drives me crazy. but, you know, I also think we media people that live in New York and LA, and sort of we can spend 108, you know, and maybe some of us are allowed to expense it, right?
Like you, right.
You can spend tons and tons of money to have everything, but, you know, there's still vast portions of the U.S. that aren't necessarily passed by broadband in a way that their primary mode of consumption is streaming. And so, you know, I think there's still room to kind of reconnect everything together where we can get to a place where linear levels out, because people just habitually watch that way. And even with fast channels, right, it's the same thing. It's a grid
exactly.
with a whole bunch of channels, like thousands of channels. So it's almost like what you're doing hasn't changed. It's just how you're receiving it, whether you're receiving it through satellite,
right.
through terrestrial, or through IP. It's just how do we organize it in a way that allows people to get what they want. And so if linear leveled around 50 million, for us, if we continue to create reasonably priced, attractive streaming, you know, products that we can then bundle, because we always say we'll be the French fries for anybody's Happy Meal, right? So, you know, testing things
that's
out
a good
with
one.
Max.
I haven't heard that
or,
one.
Yeah, because we're not huge and we're not $20 a month. You know, we range, you know, below $9.99 or $8.99 a month. And then as we have ad-supported versions, things are less expensive. So we're trying to avoid like the sticker shock at the end of the month for people. And we think the value is there for what we do. So it's a matter of focusing more on retention, telling our story, like we said, targeting people and saying, you know, you loved this, you should try this. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, having a great product on the street allows that to be so much easier. So it's just a matter of serving up people what they want in a way that helps them discover and appreciate what they have, and then reasonably priced for good stuff. Ideally, that should work.
We've been talking a lot about streaming. I'd love to ask you about IFC Films, kind of the future of that division. I know it's been a real source of, you know, really distinctive movies over the year, Oscar contenders. Mm-hmm. But in this environment, especially with exhibition, the kind of the classic exhibition business being really challenged, is IFC still a priority for you?
Yes, films for certain are a priority. We're also partners with Bob Johnson on RLJE Films. So
oh, right.
between the
right.
two studios, we do, you know, curate a wide variety of films that we use domestically, internationally. And so, yeah, it's going to continue to be a priority because films are really what people watch. Interestingly, like the tentpole series are great and mm-hmm. they, you know, but you do a handful of those a year, maybe a few double digits of series, but what the bread and butter of the business is really the films.
Is theatrical exhibition, is that still something that you're investing in?
We still have the IFC Center, which, you know, is a landmark. You know, you lived in New York. Mm-hmm. It's still a cultural kind of tiny, but cultural mecca in New York. So mm-hmm. when we acquire films, generally we will do a release. And if it does well, then we might expand to, you know, to a wider distribution for films. Like we've had, you know, sort of unanticipated successes. Like last year we had Skinamarink, which was a horror film that we had licensed very inexpensively, and it did, you know, over $1 million in theaters, and it was one of these sort of, you know, unanticipated successes, right? Mm-hmm. So when those things happen, we capitalize on them. Mm-hmm. But generally, as you know, like IFC Films and RLJE, they're not big blockbuster,
right.
you know,
right.
releases.
Design.
Yeah. yeah. But, you know, going all the way back to my Big Fat Greek Wedding mm-hmm. or, you know, we've just...
Boyhood.
Yeah. Oh, I love that film.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much. I so appreciate your time. My last question for you is, I would love to... Are there any things in your background, you know, earlier in your career or at any stage in your career, any things that you can point to that really prepared you for your job now, for the challenges that you face? Anything that comes to mind in terms of of, you know, early experiences, whether it be a K-Vision or launching your own data analytics company, anything that stands out to you is really important in guiding you in this very, very fraught moment for the programming business?
That's a good question. I feel like everything I've done so far kind of prepared me for this, including external boards. So, you know, I was on the Revlon board for 6 or 7 years, and then I'm on the Wendy's board. So, you know, big, heavy operating companies that are also global.
Yeah.
So having that experience.
Spread around the world,
And both have had very interesting, especially in the past few years, Revlon going through bankruptcy and emerging. And so between my own experience, you know, many years within the family companies, but also then having the board experience, I feel like I was ready, and thankfully just inheriting such an amazing team when I came into the business, and then having the legacy relationships with so many people, it's really been kind of, I think that's what prepared me. And I love our industry. We were talking about this before we started recording, right? Because I grew up with these people, you know, with a lot of them. So being able, it's still very collegial. So I can pick up the phone, you know, that's how the Max, you know, pop up with AMC and Max came about. It was David Zaslav saying, let's do something, and we can pick up the phone and have that conversation. And the same goes for Paramount or for Charter or for Comcast or, you know, and then sort of meeting and introducing ourselves to the newer players in the marketplace. You know, we've had really nice relationships with Amazon and with Roku and with YouTube TV and Philo. And so it's kind of fun to build and activate relationships that you've had forever, but then also connect the dots for people as they're coming into the industry.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcast or Amazon Music. Please go to variety.com and sign up for the free weekly Strictly Business newsletter. And don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.
Everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff.
Grown Up Stuff.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.